Good morning. Annette decided to come back from Girl Scout camp, and I see that a lot of happy faces here this morning. So I greet everyone in the name of the Lord to this Lord's Day and to this portion where I get to preach, which is a blessing for me at least, and for you, I'm sure, because it's the Word of God that we are sharing. If you weren't here Wednesday night, you missed something special. We did something, well, I don't know, it may have been done before in Plymouth. I have no idea, but it was wonderful. We had our elders, minus one, who was with his mother-in-law. We had them come up front, and we put them on chairs, and we let the members ask them questions. And it was nice that they were answering them, because sometimes questions come that are pretty hard, and I need time to think about them. But it went quite well. It was quite a learning experience, and I think we'll probably be doing this more in the future. At least I hope so. But it got me to thinking, because some of the questions, when questions come up from the audience, where are these questions coming from? From their heart. Things that the brothers and sisters don't understand and would like to understand. And for a preacher, that's wonderful to find out just what I need to be talking about. Because sometimes I talk about things that I'm wondering about. But sometimes I don't think, as some of you do. So it gave me the chance, and it brought about this sermon today. I call this the people of God, an election. Not presidential election, but a biblical election. And you heard our Bible verse for today. And how does that start off? You are a chosen people. Many of the Old Testament descriptions for the people of God, Israel, were taken over in the New Testament for the new people of God. A chosen people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. These are all thoughts that come from the Old Testament. And this is good because this emphasizes the continuing of the history of salvation from the Old Testament to the New. God wrote the Bible, and these two testaments are linked, aren't they? As part of God's amazing inspiration process, when he inspired men to write these books. And so, what better way to describe the new people of God in the New Testament except with the terms used in the Old? And we have been promised even richer blessings than they. The covenant, or God's covenant, is always made with a particular people. God's people, we are taught, are a chosen race, a chosen people. You notice what he didn't say? Chosen individuals. He called them a chosen people, a chosen race, a holy nation. And that's something we need to notice in the Old Testament. Usually, when God is talking about his election, in most cases, he is talking about a people and not about individuals. So most references in the Bible to God's election have to do with a group. We say, wait, he called Abraham, but what did he call Abraham to do? To have children. To have a particular child, but what was the purpose? That God could call for himself a holy people. The people of Israel. And when God made a promise to King David that from his lineage would come the kings of Israel, what was he calling? Was he calling just David? Or was he calling a line of kings? Something else we should note. Did all of Abraham's children receive the blessing of the chosen one? Did all of David's descendants become king? Just those who accepted accepted God's call and lived according to what God said they should live. Remember, when he called Abraham, he told Abraham, a time will come when your descendants won't obey me. And he promised to take the land away from them when they did that. And he told David, your descendants will be king if they do what? If they obey me. And he listed what needed to be obeyed. So not all that were called were chosen, so to speak. The choice of a group in the Old Testament did not guarantee the inclusion of all individuals in that group to the blessing. As we said, not all of Abraham's children were chosen. Isaac was. And that tended to go down through history, didn't it? To the man that became known as Israel. Paul argues in Romans 9, in verse 6 through 29, that God has always dealt with people on the basis of His promise and His call, and not upon works of the flesh. Christ, in the New Testament, is the chosen one. That's what He's referred to in many passages. The chosen one of God. God's choice within Israel finally focused on one person. Jesus Christ. Chosen one was a title that was given to Jesus in the Bible. He was acknowledged by the voice from heaven, at least on two occasions. You remember those two occasions? His baptism and the transfiguration. I didn't even call on Charlie this morning, but he answered. Thank you, Charlie. Oh, that was Zona. It was a manly voice. But those two instances, God, even from heaven, said at the baptism, this is my beloved Son. And at transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. Jesus is also presented as the seed or the descendant of Abraham. The election of Christ. Because He is the true Israel. Everything that Israel should have been, Jesus was. Isn't that true? Similarly, He was called the Son of David because He was Israel's true king. So all, if Christ is the chosen one, then all of those people who come and put Jesus Christ on, or as Paul puts it, in Christ Jesus, are a part of the election, aren't they? Because it was Jesus that was elected. He was the true Israel. He was the true king. The Old Testament, when referring to the descendant of Abraham, who was in mind? Jesus Christ. So the election of Christ entails the election of those who are in Christ Jesus. And who is in Christ Jesus? Christians. So God continues to choose a category, a group, those who believe in Christ are God's elect. Christians are in Christ as the Jews were in Abraham and as humanity was in Adam. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 13 and 14. Paul says, brothers and sisters, whom the Lord loves. God chose you from the beginning to be saved. So we must always thank God for you. Now we're going to hear how He picked them. You are saved by the Spirit that makes you holy and by your faith in the truth. God used the good news that we preach to call you to be saved so that you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This the means of salvation here is the Spirit, sanctification, and human faith. Election is connected not only with the Spirit, but with our faith. The faith is the result of the proclamation of the gospel, wasn't it, according to that verse? And both of these center where? Our faith and the proclamation on Jesus Christ. Election of Christians is expressly stated to be in Christ. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read first verse 4 and 5. That is, in Christ, He chose us before the world was made so that we would be His holy people. People without blame before Him. Because of His love, God had already decided to make us His own children through Jesus Christ. That was what He wanted and what pleased Him. And it brings praise to God because of His wonderful grace. And then if we skip down to verse 11, in Christ we were chosen to be God's people because from the very beginning, God had decided this in keeping with His plan. And He is the one who makes everything agree with what He decides and wants. Verse 13, so it is with you. When you heard the true teaching, the good news about your salvation, you believed in Christ, and in Christ, God put His special mark of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit that He had promised. This chapter in Ephesians is anchored in the historical events of Christ's life and death and resurrection. The emphasis is that God's election occurred in Christ. Those who are in Christ, through hearing the word of truth, believing in Christ, and being sealed with His Holy Spirit, are those that are going to be holy and blameless, the children of God, according to God's love and good pleasure. Christians are elect because they have been called by God and because of an act of His mercy. In Christ, Christians share the election of Abraham. As spiritual children of Abraham through Christ, Christians share not only in this election, but in His blessings. Galatians 3:29 speaks of the blessings of being children of Abraham. Because we are heirs of this salvation. All of this is because we share in Christ's election as the chosen one of God. Therefore, Christians too are called the elect ones. 1 Peter chapter 1. It is not said in Scripture that God has chosen Christians individually. A man named Augustine popularized this thought in the 4th century. But no, he hasn't chosen individuals. He has chosen those who are in Christ Jesus. He has not chosen who will be in Christ Jesus. God elected a community. The community He chooses now are those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember what Jesus said when He sent the apostles out? First, go to the Jewish people who were God's people in the Old Testament. Give them the opportunity to become Christians. And then the Samaritans. And then to the outermost parts of the world. Because this election wasn't just for one tribe or one people. It was for people from the whole world. God created how many people? All people. Who does He want to save? All people. And so, in Christ Jesus, He accomplishes this act of love. A person who rejects Christ and refuses the election will not receive the promise. There were some who chose Jesus and fell away from the truth. In Romans 9:6 we read, it is not that God failed to keep His promise to them. He's talking about the Jewish nation. But only some of the people of Israel are truly God's people. And only some of Abraham's descendants are truly children of Abraham. You know, Paul included himself among those Jews who were true Israel. In that he had come to Jesus. Although most of the language of election in the Bible has to do with group election, God in special circumstances did elect and choose individuals for a specific task. Moses was called to do what? To bring God's people out of Egypt. Prophets were chosen to do what? To speak for God, usually to certain groups of people. Remember, Jonah tried to disobey God? Well, he ended up having to preach the word of God anyways. And he was disappointed because Nineveh repented. Isn't that terrible? A preacher should be ecstatic that his preaching brought about true repentance. But Jonah wasn't happy. Jonah wanted Nineveh to be punished for their wickedness. But God chose to do otherwise. They were chosen for a specific ministry. These men were not chosen to find salvation. But even here, they could refuse. Moses did argue with God. Like Jonah, he thought God was wrong. Judas, another good example. He was chosen to be an apostle by Jesus Christ. But he turned down that apostleship when he killed himself, when he refused to seek repentance. Election to salvation, in contrast to the election of individuals for a ministry, is in Christ. The election of those in Christ is unconditional. Those who are in Christ have the assurance of what? Of salvation. As long as they are in Christ Jesus. But whether one stays in Christ, now that's conditional. One's position in the chosen people can be lost, can't it? 2 Peter 1:10, Peter that wrote 2 Peter, not Paul. My brothers and sisters, Peter says, try hard to be certain that you really are called and chosen by God. If you do all these things, you will never fail. Never fall, excuse me. And he had listed things that the Christians were to strive for. He says, if you strive for these things, he says, you won't fall. He didn't say they had to attain those things, did he? He said, strive for them. So Peter must be thinking here that it's possible to fall if you don't strive for these things. Peter told us to work hard to see that we don't fall. Because the assurance of salvation is where? In Christ Jesus. For your election in Christ to be an assurance, where do you need to be? In Christ Jesus. So where do we need to be? In Jesus. I don't know how many of you are in Jesus or out of Jesus this morning. But how does one get into Jesus? That's the question. If salvation is in Jesus, if the election is of all those people who are in Jesus, then we want the assurance that we are in Jesus Christ or in Christ Jesus. Well, in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who does not believe will be punished. Do you think the apostles understood what Jesus was saying? Many today don't. But did the apostles understand? Well, I think so. Because Peter in Acts chapter 2 verse 38 said, change your hearts and lives and be baptized each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away. It is for everyone the Lord our God calls to himself. The God is calling, isn't he? But does do all that God calls answer? No. Not all that God calls answer to enter Jesus. And some might say, Paul teaches differently about salvation. Well, let's see what Paul teaches. This is in Galatians 3, verse 26. You were all baptized into Christ, and so you were all clothed with Christ. This means that you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. In Christ, there is no difference between Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female. You are all the same in Christ Jesus. You belong to Christ, so you are Abraham's descendants. You will inherit all of God's blessing because of the promise God made to Abraham. You see, God elected those in Christ to be saved. He predestined that those in Jesus Christ would be saved. If you are not yet in Christ Jesus this morning, you are not one of the elect. You are not the heir of salvation. You are lost. You are not a descendant of Abraham by faith. This is the only way that God has elected that man and women shall be saved. Salvation is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you not come this morning and become part of God's elect? God is calling you. Don't refuse His call. If you are ready for salvation, if you are ready to be one of the elect, then come as we stand and sing our invitation song.